The first reading is from Numbers chapter 21. From Mount Or, the Israelites set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 2. "You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the results of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The gospel according to John, the third chapter. "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. A couple of years ago in confirmation, I made bookmarks for all of the kids that had John 3:16 on them, but with their name in it. So this was mine. It says, "For God so loved Heather that God gave the only begotten Son, so that Heather may not perish, but have eternal life." The point was to help the kids understand that God's love is for them, that God chose to come and live among us on earth out of love. And because of that love, that Jesus came not just for some abstract theoretical reason, but for them out of love that's very real and very personal. But the truth is, we could substitute any name in there, not just our own. In fact, we could get really to the point of the radicalness of God's love if we were to think about someone that we don't like, or push it even further, someone that we think of as a bad person. I actually use this as an exercise, especially during election time, when there are politicians that I just feel are doing more harm than good. I won't name any names, but if you think of someone who makes your blood boil, and put their name into this passage. God so loved that God sent Jesus so that they might not perish, but have eternal life. God's love is uncomfortable, isn't it, when we apply it like that? But whenever I feel myself tempted to hate or to write someone off as a scumbag or as evil, this reminds me of exactly how radical God's love is. That is the love that we're called to share. See, in John, the term world is used not just to talk about the entirety of creation, but often he uses that term world to talk about those who are in opposition to God. So God so loved those who ignore God's call. God so loved those who are making bad choices and doing what is evil in God's sight. God so loved those that are living lives of destruction and harm. God so loved the world that God sent Jesus so that they may not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16 is often thought of as summarizing Christian theology because it tells us the absolute core truth of our faith, that God loves us and wants life for us. That God loves the whole world and wants to save all of us from destruction and death. Now we know that some Christians prefer to focus on the verses after 3:16 and hold them up as evidence that it's those who agree with them and who believe like them who are saved, and everyone else is condemned. As usual, it's about interpretation, and for us, it's about looking at the entirety of the passage and not just single verses. I found Eugene Peterson's The Message really helpful with this. He looks at the Hebrew and the Greek text and then tries to honor the original languages and the intent of the passage, but puts it into language that's easier for modern readers to understand. And I just love the way he wrote this passage. I loved his phrasing of verse 17, which says, in his words, God didn't go to all the trouble of sending the Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. Jesus came to help, to put the world right again. That was and is the work of Jesus, not to judge and condemn, but to save. Not just us and those people who agree with us, but the world. So then what do we do with verses 19 through 21? Because in the verses that we read, the translation, the NRSV, it starts out with, "This is the judgment." Well, another way to translate that word that's translated as judgment here is crisis. And I think that really helps get to the point, to get to the heart of these verses. Again, using the words of Eugene Peterson, this is the crisis we're in. God light streamed into the world, but men and women everywhere ran for the dark. In other words, God so loved the world that God sent Jesus to show us that love, to live it out and teach it and share it and model it, and calls us to live into that same love, to follow Jesus into lives that embody God's love and share it with others. But the problem, the crisis, is that too often we choose to keep living the same old ways, to keep living in the muck and the mire of selfishness and judgmentalism, of self-loathing, greed, and spitefulness. Too often we turn away from the better path, the life-giving path that God has shown us, and turn instead to our own ways of trying to save ourselves, materialism, numbing excess, exhausting efforts to try and earn our worth and our value. This is the crisis, that we choose death rather than life. This living death isn't a punishment for disobeying. It's simply the reality of what life is like when we live in opposition to love. The destruction that we bring on ourselves and on one another. See, God's not calling us to a series of tests that we have to pass in order to earn life. God calls us to come and live. To come and live a better life today. A life of love and community. A life of sharing God's love and building a better world. For God so loved you. For God so loved your enemy. For God so loved all those who are hurting and in need, that God sent Jesus to show us how to live. That God sent Jesus to show us love and teach us love and to call us to follow him in sharing that love with others. The crisis that we all face is that too often we don't live in that love, and we doubt its truth for ourselves, or we deny its truth for others. We act as though it has to be earned, or we act as though there are exceptions. But the good news is that God does not stop loving us. The good news is that God continues to love us each day and calls us into that love every day. The good news is that God so loved the world with absolutely no exceptions, that God loves you with no strings attached. The good news is that God's radical love is bigger than we can measure. It's bigger than our shame, bigger than our hatred, bigger than our self-doubt. God's love is bigger than our selfishness or our need for retribution. God's love for us and for the world is bigger than all our failings and shortcomings, and it is bigger even than death. The good news is that God's love cannot be stopped. It is for you and it is for the world that we might have life. Thanks be to God. Amen.